grace, mercy, and peace be yours from our triune God, Father, Spirit, Son. Amen. Good evening, St. Luke's. And God's richest blessings to you all tonight as we come and bring praise to our God. And as we come to receive his grace and forgiveness that is for us. It's offered to us here as we come here in worship. I regret to announce that our short excursion into Christmas is now gone. It was a good run. It was enjoyable. I listened to some Christmas music last week. It was nice. But no, we now move on. We move on to look more into the life and work of Jesus Christ and what he has done for us. And if what I just said didn't make any sense, we're going through the story. We just started the New Testament, so we talked about Christmas last week. And this book is the narrative of Scripture. It compiles the narrative that we see in the Bible and puts it into one concise volume, easy for us to read. And so we've been reading this together, and since last fall, we've been reading the Old Testament, the Old Testament part of the Bible, the Old Testament of Scripture, and we've read through and walked through all of that together, and we read about God's faithfulness to his people. We read about God's faithfulness to people that weren't very faithful to him. We read about God's promises, that God has made a promise to send a Savior into the world. As we read this story, it's a story about a God and his creation. It's a story about God and his people, and ultimately that promise to send a Savior into the world to save all people on earth from their sinfulness. And as we've been reading through the Old Testament, we've read with this lens and focus in on this character of Jesus. And Jesus is not really a character of the Old Testament, but Jesus is this central figure, the central character of the entirety of Scripture. He's the person to which all of the Scriptures point to because he is that Savior that was promised to us by God. And so as we now jump into the New Testament part of the story, we're going to dig into more who this Jesus is. And so we started that last week, and we started with the beginning of Jesus' life, the birth and early years of Jesus. And we talked about mom and dad losing Jesus for a couple of days in Jerusalem. And that's okay, they found him, everything was good. But now we jump ahead quite a bit tonight as we get into chapter 23 of the story. And chapter 23 is about the beginning of the ministry of Jesus. And if you read the chapter before tonight, you read a little bit about John the Baptist. John the Baptist who came and prepared the way for this Messiah, for this Savior, for this Christ figure to come into the world. And we read about what this ministry that Jesus is doing looks like. Jesus is ministering to the people by preaching and teaching. He's performing these signs, these healings, these miraculous things before the eyes of the people. And people are following him by the droves. But tonight, as we look at chapter 23, I want us to focus in on one particular passage that Hannah read for us tonight. It's on page 330 in the story. It goes on to 331. Or if you want to open up your Pew Bible, you'll be able to find it in Mark chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. This story of this paralytic that Jesus heals. And in this passage, it starts, Jesus is at home. He's just hanging out and he's teaching. And people just cram into the house, and they're just swarming him to hear what he has to say, standing room only. But the focus of the passage is not on the people trying to get into the house, but rather the people outside the house who are looking in. It's the group of these men who they want to get in to see Jesus, but not for themselves. for their friend. See, their friend is paralyzed. He's crippled. And they know that if they could only get him in to see Jesus, Jesus would heal him. And so they devise a plan. We're going to carry him on the mat onto the roof. And we're going to poke a hole into the roof. And then we're going to lower him down to where Jesus is. It's not the best plan I've ever heard. But it worked. And so they did. They brought him up onto the roof, and they broke a hole into the roof, and they lowered their friend down, the paralytic down to Jesus. And we had this interaction between Jesus and this man. Jesus sees the man on the mat. He sees his friends, and he sees their faith. And at the top of page 331, Jesus says, he says to the paralyzed man, "Son, your sins are forgiven." And then Jesus doesn't stop there. As we read on in the passage, we see that Jesus heals this man. He walks up, or he stands up, takes his mat, and walks out of there in sight of everyone. As we look at this passage, it seems similar to a lot of the other passages that we see in the Gospels as we look at who Jesus is. But I think we get a really clear picture of Jesus as we read this in Mark 2. And then the answer is, there's an answer to that question. And the question really is, who is Jesus? And this isn't just a question that I'm asking today. This is a question that people are trying to figure out right in that context. They're coming to hear him speak, but they're like, who is this guy? We've never seen anything like this before. What kind of guy is this? Who is this Jesus? It's really the central question to all of the Gospels. Who is Jesus? Now, the easiest answer, I think, and it's an answer that really most people would agree with, is that Jesus is a wise teacher. Even as we read this passage, that's what he's doing, right? He's at home teaching the people, preaching the word, bringing the word of God to the people. He's a wise teacher, there to bring a moral truth to the people. People come from all over the place just to hear his words. He comes into Capernaum and they hear he's there, and the people follow him. Follow him everywhere he goes to hear his wisdom. But it wasn't just the common people. Even as we read in chapter 23, there's this Pharisee, Nicodemus, comes to Jesus at night to hear his teaching. Hear about who he is. And so Jesus doesn't just teach the common people or the wise, but he teaches all people, including the Samaritan woman that we read about. A woman who, in this time and place and culture, Jesus probably should have kept a safe distance from. But Jesus was a teacher. He taught that woman about living water, life, worship. Jesus was a wise teacher. But what I hope we can see is that Jesus was so much more than that. Even as we look here in this passage and look at this story with this paralytic, Jesus is here to teach, but he does even more than that. He's clearly a man of God who has power. A man who speaks with authority. A man who turns water into wine. A man who drives demons out of people. A man who heals sicknesses and ailments. This is a man who brings God's word, but follows that up with God's power. It's in line with what we see in the Old Testament, where we see the prophets of the Old Testament who bring God's word, but also do these miraculous things. Now, when we talk about prophet in the Old Testament, the Bible sort of things, sort of talking about it, I think we think prophet like someone who's seeing visions of the future. A prophet is someone who speaks on behalf of God. A prophet is one who's bringing God's word to the people. And Jesus does that in the same way as he does as the prophets of old. Moses and Elijah and Elisha. These prophets, they spoke on behalf of God, but they did miraculous things too. They spoke with the power and authority of God. Moses, when he was in Egypt, brought on these plagues upon the Egyptians to bring his people out of Egypt and into the promised land. Elijah, when faced with this challenge of the prophets of Baal, calls down fire from heaven to take up his offering on the altar. Elisha, he goes into this woman's house. Her son has died, and he brings that young boy back to life again. This is what a prophet looks like. But as we go back to this passage again, this passage of this paralytic, we do see all of those things. We see Jesus teaching, the wise teacher. We see Jesus who's clearly a prophet with power, but we see is something so much more. It comes in that one line he says to the paralytic. He speaks words that are so controversial, so scandalous. Son, your sins are forgiven. Jesus speaks forgiveness to this man. And no sooner had those words come out of his mouth than the teachers of law around him start grumbling. Ah, how could he say that? Only God can first forgive sins. Who does this guy think he is? Only God alone is able to forgive sins. Exactly. Exactly. Jesus is more than a teacher. More than a prophet. Jesus is incarnate God. Jesus is God in the flesh, God on earth with us, Emmanuel. Jesus has the power and authority to forgive sins because he's God. And I love that part right after they start grumbling where he like perceives their thoughts as if that we needed more proof that he was God. They didn't say anything out loud. They're just like thinking it. And he's like, why are you thinking this? What? I didn't say that. You can hear my thoughts. Jesus is God. And Jesus, he showed God's power on that day when he healed that man. He proved who he was through his miraculous sign. What was more powerful is that he forgave that man's sin. Jesus said, the Son of Man has the authority on earth to forgive sins. Now, when we read the Bible, we hear this Son of Man phrase, and it comes up quite a bit. And what does that mean? When we hear that Son of Man, we think this is humanity reduced to one person. This is a man who stands on behalf of all mankind. He is the Son of Man. The one who stands on our behalf to do what we cannot do. And ultimately, it starts with that one thing. He can forgive sins. The Son of Man and the Son of God holds true authority. He holds authority in heaven and on earth to forgive sins. And in this passage, we see who he is and why he's come to bring forgiveness. It's all about forgiveness. And the amazing thing about all of this is that the forgiveness that Jesus offers right here in this passage in Mark 2, it's not, I'm going to forgive his sins someday. It's not, oh, his sins have been forgiven at one point, now it's just kind of going on from there. When Jesus says the Son of Man has authority to forgive sins, what he says there, really in the Greek meaning of it, is, I have authority to forgive sins right here, right now. Your sins are forgiven right here, right now, in the presence of everyone. And that's true today. As we gather in this place, we have the forgiveness of sins right here, right now, in this place. When we gather together and we repent of our sins together, receive that absolution, that forgiveness is real, right here, right now. When we come and eat Christ's body and drink his blood for the forgiveness of sins, we receive that right here, right now. And that forgiveness passes on. See, Christ has also called us to forgive. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other. Just as Christ God, the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, forgave you. May we find true peace and joy in our Savior and God who brings to us the forgiveness of sins that we might forgive one another. Amen.